on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, November 19th edition, and we are 1 week away from Thanksgiving. Yeah, holiday season is in full gear, and so is earnings season. We're well into it, and we had NVIDIA after hours, which should be a big move for markets tomorrow. But we have a lot to unpack for this hour before we get to tomorrow's trading day. Now, I'm host of Invest Talk, Justin Klein, and my goal here each and every day is to help you become a better investor, giving you data and perspective that you can take home to your own personal situation and make better decisions with your money, not fall prey to the pitfalls that so many people naturally fall into because they use fear and greed to make their decisions. They don't use sound logic and simple, straightforward investment practices that are tried and true and guide you towards smart decisions. Those type of frameworks are the antithesis of what the average person comes to the investment world with. We come to the world as emotional human beings, and therefore fear and greed tends to creep in and it tends to cloud our judgment. My job here is to keep that away. As little smoke and fog in front of you as possible, so that you have a clear vision of the path ahead. So that's what this hour is really about. And heads up, we have more value to give you. And that is coming up on December 9th. It's our free Invest Talk Wealth webinar, where Luke and I will go over important money saving tips as we end the year. And it's about the tax toolkit as we close the year. Okay, so you do need to pre-register over at investtalk.com. It is free, however. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today about ticker AGM, Federal Agricultural Mortgage Corporation. I've held this company for about 2 years now, and it's been pretty well for me. And I think I held it for too long, and now I'm about down 15 or so percent. Curious if you would continue holding on to this company, if you think there's any more room to grow, and you just think this sector in general is good as the agriculture finance area. Thank you for your time. Good podcast. Bye.
Now, this is a federally chartered corporation. Think of Fannie and Freddie, but for the farm industry. And that's been a big theme over the past decade or so, is the value of farmland. And, you know, I think one issue here is that with the tariffs, it has hurt a lot of farmers and therefore the value of farms. And that's the collateral for the loans here. So to me, it's a simple story. Will the farm business rebound? Will tariffs eventually abate or reverse? And President Trump has talked about that recently, about rolling back some of the tariffs on goods. Now, this usually affects these foreign farms, not domestic farms. But what's happened with China and the soybean farmers? Soybean farmers were selling a ton of soybeans to China. And then the trade war happened and China decided to strike a deal with, I believe it was Brazil. And that's hurt soybean farmers. And so, you know, this is where you get that volatility. Overall, though, I don't think this is an issue. I would probably continue to hold it. I wouldn't use the recent pullback as anything more than just gyrations around tariffs. And we know that Trump is a taco, right? Trump always chickens out, and he's kind of doing that now that he's focusing on affordability. And so, you know, they're supposed to strike a deal with China and order more soybeans, and that could help things. But clearly, we're just in a more volatile environment when it comes to global trade. And we're the farm of the world in many ways. We export a ton of food, many tons of food, shall we say. And I think that will continue. So if you liked it before, I wouldn't use this recent volatility around the trade war to change your position. Overall, continues to increase earnings at a pretty healthy clip at a reasonable valuation. So I would hold AGM. Thanks for the call. There were a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll look at the Magnificent Seven Overload. Is your portfolio too top heavy? Is your portfolio secretly a tech portfolio, a tech fund? We'll look at that. In addition, we'll dig into the housing market, how to, rebalance the housing market. What is it going to take? Also, there have been massive bets, levered bets on crypto, and that's starting to unwind. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen crypto already fall about 30% from its all-time high, and likely headed lower. So we'll look at that story. And then lastly, if we have time, managing capital gains distribution, something that's not talked about a lot, especially if you hold mutual funds and taxable accounts. So we'll have time to get to that as well, hopefully. We'll also get to voice bank questions. One is on TOPT, the iShares top 20 US stocks. And then the question about start taking equity. And then we have questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Now, my market wrap is next, but most importantly, it will be your calls. If you call, you will be put in front of line. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo, looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk. But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
You know your business inside and out. Gusto knows payroll, compliance, and benefits as well, so you don't have to. Sounds like a match made in heaven, right? Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Gusto helps you save time with automated tools built right in, offer letters, onboarding materials, direct deposit, and more. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. Get direct access to certified HR experts to help support you through any tough HR situation. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/investtalk and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/investtalk. One more time, gusto.com/investtalk.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley.
Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. And let's take a quick look at the markets today. And we had a little bounce back day in anticipation of NVIDIA earnings after hours. And so far, the NVIDIA earnings reaction has been positive, up about 5% after hours. Still not at an all-time high from where we were a few weeks ago, but nice positive reaction. We'll see if it holds. That's always most important. It's not the initial move, but more, does that stick and does it, you know, extend its gains or just hold its gains, or do you get some sort of retrace and it closes near the lows? So a lot can happen tomorrow, so we shall see. But today, the S&P was up about 38 basis points, the NASDAQ about 60 basis points. The Dow eked out a little bit of a gain there. Really on the growth side of the market, that's where the gains were concentrated. And you had gains in other sectors as well, places like financial services, that was higher. You had consumer discretionary was roughly flat. Utilities were down nearly 1%. Real estate as well, consumer staples. So money kind of flowing out of those areas that were getting good flows over the past few weeks, which were kind of those bond proxy type of names and safety, non-cyclical names. And those sold off today, while the consumer discretionary, like I said, held flat. Tech was up about 0.7% on the day. Industrials up 0.33%. Same with financials. Energy was down about 1.3% on the day, and communications down about 0.5%. So that was kind of what you saw from a sector perspective. Google was up 3% on Gemini 3 that came out, and there were some really good reviews on that. And many are calling it now the best model out. We'll see. I think there's more testing to be done, but certainly the market liked that. NVIDIA was up 2.8% before earnings. So nice little bounce off support over the past couple of days for NVIDIA. The rest of the market, like I said, kind of mixed on the day. Now, what about other assets? You had treasuries were a bit weaker with yields up about 1 basis point across the curve. The 20-year auction did tail by 2 basis points. So what that means is it wasn't a very healthy auction. And you can see those longer dated securities are not getting the requisite interest in buying them. And so you are getting those longer dated securities selling off just a bit. And so you had, let's see, what was TLT today? I always look at that when you're trying to look at longer term bonds and the performance. Yeah, TLT was down 0.2%. on the day, while the 10-year was roughly flat. The WTI was down 2.3% on the day with new efforts to end the Ukraine war. So there's more speculation on that. Bitcoin futures down 3.9%, down below $90,000 per coin. Let's see where we are currently. We bounced up. Now we're bouncing back to 91.3 right now. So you can see how quickly things can move. So gold finished up 0.4% on the day. You continue to see strength there. So that was the market today. Nice little bounce back. We'll see if we get NVIDIA's move to hold and the market to hold the recent support that it has hit. I don't think it will by year end, but you never know. We shall see. Let's answer a YouTube comment question from Jake Samuel. Says, I'm curious to hear your opinion on ODFL, Old Dominion Freight Lines, why it's getting beat up, and its outlook. This is an interesting one. It's a name that if you go talk to analysts, including myself, this is one of those names that historically has very good profitability and just consistent compounder, meaning their return on equity, return on invested capital has always been very, very high. And good cash flow. And for everyone out there, they're in the transportation business. They provide less than truckload, interregional, and national carrier services throughout the United States. So they are a logistics company, shall we say. And it is now at a 52-week low. It peaked out back in earlier last year around $227 per share. Now we're at $127 per share, down over 50%, about 50%, call it. And if you look at its free cash flow, it's down from the high of last summer, but only from a little over $1 billion to $902 million. So modest decline there. Return on equity is 25%. And that is, well, if it's 2022, I have 38%. But that's, you know, it's still earning more. It's return equity still higher than it was pre-COVID when it was trading around 20%. So it's coming back down to earth, but I still think it's a great business. Now, would I go buy it? No, I wouldn't. Because like I said, I want to see the momentum. I usually say this, the momentum, I want to see it turn around. I'm not going to try to catch the falling knife, especially when earnings are expected to fall 12% this year in total and only bounce back 9% next year. So the overall trend in profitability is negative. Now, how much of this is tariff related? I definitely think it is. I'm seeing numbers like low teens drop in total volume of products being moved because of tariffs. And clearly, that's hurting Old Dominion. So a name I would continue to keep on my watch list. But like most things, I want to see either the momentum turn around or I want to see capitulation, meaning big down day, hopefully a reversal by the end of the day, near the high of the day, and on volume. And that tells me, okay, this is a good place to take a good risk versus reward bet that everyone puked out their shares. Sentiment got too extreme and everyone's over it and they sold it. And that's when I like to pick it up. Until then, until I see that, there's no reason to be buying Old Dominion. So name to keep on the watch list because it is a great business with a good balance sheet, but it's not a buy yet until you get momentum turning around. Thanks for the call. Now we're heading into a break. And if you actually, I don't think we have time. Let's go to a break. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Now with 62 million downloads, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now with 2025 heading for the finish line, now is a good time to identify and lock in your smart year-end moves. And we're ready to help with a new InvestTalk Wealth webinar. Title says it all. Year-end tax toolkit. RMD planning, tax loss harvesting, and deferral strategies. It's all happening online. It's free of charge. The new Wealth webinar is set for Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time. Luke and I will be sharing important money-saving information you'll need to manage your taxable income. And be sure to register at investtalk.com. And we will have a Q&A section as well. So just a reminder there. Now the phone lines are open. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART. Now let's get to my main focus point. And that is in regard to the Magnificent 7 Overload. Magnificent 7 Overload, excuse me. And the question is your portfolio too top heavy? Is your portfolio secretly a tech fund? Is it? And is it a trap? And how should you fix it? So let's talk about that. Now, the first thing you have to understand is going into this year, the top 10 stocks of the S&P 500 were about 38% of the overall index. Now it's 40%. So the problem that came into this year of over-concentration has just gotten worse. And many investors don't know that they have this issue. They don't know that they own 7% of their portfolio alone is just NVIDIA. And as we've seen throughout history, themes wax and wane. Right now, obviously, AI is leading, but we know that in previous rallies, oil was the big leader. Industrials were the big leader. Consumer stocks were the big leader. It rotates all the time. And so to tie yourself to tech, it's worked this year. It's worked in some previous years, but we know it doesn't always work. Like the last couple of weeks. Now, the last couple of weeks is just a couple of weeks, but the key here is that you are not diversified. I had a client the other day actually asked me when they had a holding, I believe it was in their TSP. And in the TSP, there's the, I believe it's the S fund, and that's the S&P 500. I say, well, I'm diversified. I have it all in the S fund. Well, not really, because you are so tied to just those top seven names, top 10 names, really, but mainly those top seven, right? And so the question is, how do you fix this? How do you fix this problem? If you're in some sort of robo-advisory service, or your options within your 401k are just very limited, or you've just been an indexer for a long period of time. Well, the first thing you have to do is set a plan. Think about how you're going to actually create diversity. Now that this market cap weighted fund is not giving you what you need. The idea of a market cap weighted fund was to do that, was to get diversity. But over time, the structure of these market cap weighted funds makes it so the bigger names get more dollars, therefore they get higher prices, and it becomes reflexive. But it can happen the other way as well. If money flows out of the indices, say you get a recession, people start getting laid off, they stop contributing to their 401k, so less money goes into the indices, and therefore they need that money. Maybe they go pull that out. Maybe boomers are retiring and they're transitioning from equities into bonds. A lot of things could trigger a reflexive sell-off in these names as well. Not to mention a bubble-like situation we have with AI right now. So there's a lot of factors that could trigger a changing of the guard, shall we say. So number one is, what do you want your portfolio to look like? And then doing an X-ray to figure out what it does look like. Something we do for clients when we're looking at portfolio, doing portfolio reviews. We put all the portfolios into our software, and our software can see through it. And it can say, hey, you own all these different funds. Here's your actual weighting and your exposure to Apple, Nvidia, Google, et cetera. And a lot of these people own the index funds, but they also own the individual names on top of it. So it's a double whammy here, double exposure. And then you want to slowly rebalance. Now, how do you do that? Obviously, you trim. You don't have to do it all at once, but trim slowly and figure out where you want that money to go. Now, I would argue foreign stocks is a good place to go. That's already starting to outperform this year and likely will going forward. Maybe a value type fund that leans less on these Mag 7 names. Maybe a sector allocation where you want more exposure to a particular sector. Maybe a mid or small cap fund. Mid cap funds tend to have very good long-term risk versus reward characteristics. So that can be a great way to transition the portfolio. But it's about creating a target. So we have, for all our different strategies, we have target allocations, and we're moving all our clients consistently towards that target. And that's what you need to do as well. So remember, let history be your guide. Understand that this era is this era, but that will change, just as markets always do. Now, the next Invest Talk, we have this topic for you: high yield savings versus T-bills. Where should your cash live? We compare high yield savings accounts with treasury bills and breaking down liquidity, safety, and after-tax returns. That story is for tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, waiting for your call at 888-99-CHART.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment, an Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that very interesting when I learned about the True Age Test from True Diagnostic. And this knowledge has completely changed the way I think about my health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus over 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Here's the good news. 90% of aging is driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics. So how we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a huge role in how fast or slow we age. That means we have a lot of control over it. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs, just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report about your aging and health. True Diagnostic doesn't just give you a number. They give you a personalized report full of clear, science-backed steps you can take to slow aging and improve your health over time. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to truediagnostic.com and use my code INVEST for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
24/7, rain or shine, there's always value in the Invest Talk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Joe from Campbellsville, Kentucky. I had a question on the ETF, T as in Tom, O, Oscar, P as in Papa, T as in Tom. It's the iShares Top 20 U.S. Stock ETF. It seems like it's pretty exciting. Came out October of 2024. Obviously, this tracks the largest 20 largest U.S. companies by market capitalization. If I know anything with index funds, it is self-cleansing. So if one drops out of the top 20, another one will take its place per the capitalization size. Just wanted to think, as far as a long-term play, you guys give a yay or nay on this. I would say 10, 20 years out, what your thoughts of it is. Thanks so much. Love your podcast. Bye-bye.
Great question, especially with our main focus point today. And this is TOPT. This is the top 20 U.S. stocks. So you're thinking, think about the concentration of the S&P already, top 10 names being 40% of the market. Where you're saying, okay, give me those 10 plus the next 10, and all I want is that. And talk about lack of diversification. You get zero basic materials, zero real estate, zero industrials, zero utilities. You get 47% technology and 12% consumer services, 2.5% energy, 13% financial services, 11% consumer cyclicals, 4% consumer staples, and 8% healthcare. This is very simple. This is going the other way. What I just talked about is creating diversity and skating where the puck is going versus where it is right now. This is the exactly opposite of what you want to do. I think this is going to create more problems. I can't believe they came out with this. 20 names, 20. And they're the largest, most expensive names out there. Now, a lot of them have good businesses. I'm not going to argue that. But the vast majority of these names are overvalued. And some of them egregiously, like Tesla. So, no. I would not buy this. This is the opposite of what I'd be looking for in an ETF. Thanks for the call. That was TOPT is the symbol. Let's talk about crypto. Bitcoin, obviously selling off now in the low at 90,000 level. And recently hit, what was that? A low around 88 and change. And what you're seeing right now is leverage unwind. In many ways, especially with the advent of all these Bitcoin ETFs, traders have been encouraged to take more and more risk. In some cases, 100-to-1. And obviously, just a little bit goes wrong, you are forced to unwind. And you could be on the hook for these losses. Daily total liquidations in the on crypto exchanges have been on the rise this year. But in October, they shot up to a record amount. And that was kind of the top. In fact, it was the top. October 6th. And it was right after President Trump's surprise announcement on Chinese tariffs. And it's just really been downhill ever since. Down 29% from that high and counting. And then you have the crypto treasury funds. It used to be called MicroStrategy. Now they just call it Strategy, whatever. Down 36% this month. And I've always said, it's just a very levered bet on Bitcoin. And you see what happens when the price goes the other way. And I think it's going to get margin called at some point. I think my strategy is a zero at some point, because you just can't have that level of leverage with such a volatile asset. And all these companies are doing is issuing debt to buy more Bitcoin. And Strategy pioneered that strategy. But there have been many copycats as well. And that also drove Bitcoin up through the summer, is all of these copycat companies issuing debt, doing the exact same thing. Companies like Bitmine, which is backed by Peter Thiel, down 41% this month, and obviously doing much worse than Bitcoin. And then you have Coinbase. They launched perpetual futures over the summer. Basically can create 10-to-1 leverage to speculate on Bitcoin. And crypto lending has made a comeback. This is where you go and stake your crypto and you get a yield, because they're lending that out. They're trying to make a spread. Problem is they go invest in risky assets. Those risky assets, like other cryptocurrencies, that goes down, all of a sudden you are on the hook. These are not FIDC insured deposits like you get at a bank. This is why the FIDC exists. And it's why you're getting elevated yields when you stake your crypto, because you're taking elevated risk. And back in 2022, guess what happened? A lot of these depositors lost their money. And in the fourth quarter of 2021, there was a record $69 billion in outstanding loans from these crypto lenders. At the end of September, it was $74 billion. So it exceeded the 2022 amount. So is it, should it shock anybody that this is going down? And what's crazy to me is that you haven't seen that washout event. Are there those behind the scenes getting margin called? Sure, absolutely. I'm sure there are. But there's not that major crypto exchange that fails. There's not some big headline event yet. And that's a clear indication that we're not there yet. There's more downside ahead. The fear is not percolating. When it is, when you can taste the fear in the market, that's probably when you'll get a crypto low. But you haven't seen that yet. Now, from time to time, we also receive questions via the web form over at investtalk.com. Peter D says, Medical Properties Trust is raising its dividend. Is this a good sign or not? Does this change your previous negative opinion about the stock? MPW. This was an interesting one. Medical Properties. This was a REIT, real estate investment trust, and everyone saw a big yield and said, well, they're investing in medical properties. Medical businesses are very safe, very consistent. I'm gonna bet on that. And this was all through 2022, 23, et cetera. This peaked out in 2022 around $24. And hit a recent low in earlier this year around 2 and change. Now we're back up to 5. Yields about 7%. Let me take a look here. Yeah, last dividend amount is 9 cents. Looks like they raised their dividend from 8 cents to 9 cents. Okay. Now here's the issue. Is there's a certain amount they're required to pay out of their cash flow. And that's one of the issues with REITs is that when they make bad investments and they use leverage, because they have to pay out a certain amount, 90% of their income, they don't have enough left over to kind of repair their balance sheet, pay down their debt. And so if you look at their long-term debt, it's still $9.6 billion. Now it's down from the peak in 2021 at $11.3 billion, but it's barely going down. And its free cash flow is only $46 million. Its profitability is still negative. The chart is more neutral than this just grinding lower, but it still reminds me with its balance sheet of a name that is likely to go bankrupt. So, you know, the fact that they raised their dividend a penny from 8 cents to 9 cents doesn't really give me much solace. It's probably a technicality more than anything. I would have to be confident in the underlying properties that they own, in the companies that are leasing those properties, etc. And if I can see things turning around, then yeah. But that's not a little increase in their dividend is not a reason to go buy it. And it remains a stay away from me. Let's take a live call. Sammy in San Francisco looking at Micron, MU.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'd like to get your view on Micron. Do you think this is a good time to get in, or I should wait for it to come down a bit?
Yeah, Micron's interesting because this has certainly been caught up in the AI craze. And that's because it earned $1.30 in 2024, and it's supposed to make $20.53 next year. Massive move. And obviously with AI, there's more demand for memory. AI creates outputs. That's saved somewhere. All the language models and the learning and all this has to be saved somewhere. And so the demand for their products is just going up and up and up. Now, long term, I think there's some good secular tailwinds to Micron, because whether it's NVIDIA chips or Intel chips or AMD chips or Google's internal chips, whatever, that data still needs to be saved somewhere. And Micron, with their scale, is set up to benefit from that. So we like the company, but it has come a long way. From the April lows around $63 to $243 today. I think it's going to go through a consolidation phase, probably a pullback phase. I would like to pick it up around 150. That's where I'd love to pick up Micron. And I think you're going to go through, this is going to be volatile along with the AI trade as this bubble kind of unwinds. Now, some of these names will crash and burn and go to 80, 90% and maybe even go bankrupt. Others will just have a lot of volatility and have, you know, modest 30, 40% pullbacks from their high. Modest in the grand scheme of things. And I think Micron is more the latter, is one that has staying power. And I think their business and the stickiness of their business will remain, even if, you know, it's probably not going to earn $20 per share like it is expected to next year. But it will have a higher level of earnings than it has in the past. So name to keep on the watch list and be probably buying on dips. Let's keep things moving and roll in another fresh listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. I got a quick question, not about a stock ticker, but just as you noticed, the stock market is actually starting to go a little south. I guess it was about time for the bubble to slowly deflate. With that being said, I still do dollar cost averaging, but I actually have been building a little brokerage account that had S-Gov, a little bit of gold, and just like a one-month treasury. Let's say that the stock market actually does have like bottoms out. Do you think it's smart for me to start taking some equity from that brokerage account to then deploying it into the equities I have for single stocks? Just wanted to know your 2 cents. Obviously, when you see red, some people get scared. I actually get excited. So I just want to make sure that I take advantage of these downturns. Thank you very much and have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, I think you should probably say it better. You're taking that capital. You're talking about the other account with ESCA, which is effectively cash. It's effectively a money market account, some gold, and I think 1 month treasuries. Now, I probably wouldn't sell the gold, but I think the ESCA and the 1 month treasuries, that is capital that you can use to dip into the market and buy names or ETFs that you've been eyeing on market weakness. I think that's a good idea. I think the market is going through a process of working off a lot of the excess from this rally and overvaluation, obviously AI hype. And there will be names that have stickiness and good long-term businesses. Others, like I said, will crash and burn. But this is the time where you do your research. You create your buy list, create your watch list so that on those down days, you can slowly trickle some of that safe capital. That's what it is. It's not equity. It's capital in that other account that's in ESCA, that's in treasuries, that over the long term, those will underperform equities. And so you want to be ready when, there's blood in the streets potentially, or at least just a, 8-10% pullback in markets, which is normal, which is healthy. And that's probably what we're, in store for over the next, couple months or three. And that is the time to be reallocating some of that cash or cash-like investments. Thanks for the call. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. It's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Get ready for an all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar. Year-end Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Loss Harvesting, and Deferral Strategies. It's all happening online and free of charge. The new Wealth Webinar, Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Time. Pre-register now at InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Justin and Luke. This is Steve from St. Paul. Thank you for the great show. I'm calling about Rolls-Royce, R-Y-C-E-Y. I've got about 2.5% in my account. It's a taxable account. Plus, I have another 0.5% in EUAD. It's an ETF, a European defense ETF that holds a lot of Rolls-Royce. I am looking for more industrial, but I think this is overvalued. Just price to sales is over 9, and it's been turning over the last month or so. I think it's going to keep going. So I'm wondering what to do with this position. So if you agree that it's going to keep going down, would you recommend I underwater for about a third of the position so I could sell that for tax loss harvesting? And that puts my cost basis closer to $10. But I'm worried this potentially could go down further than that. So I wonder if the better option is to sell the entire position, take my profits, and then maybe look to replace with EUAD or look elsewhere for industrial. I am trying to find more industrial exposure. Sorry for the long question, but thank you. Look forward to your response.
All right, looking at Rolls-Royce, and this has been rolling over, peaked out in late September, right around $16 and change. Now we're below the 100-day moving average, and that tells me to sell it all because it found support at the 100 back in April during the Liberation Day and stayed above it really ever since. And now it is below it for the past 4 days. So technically it has broken. And then if you look at earnings expectation trends, they have moved lower as well. And so that is another kind of confirmation. You have the technical confirmation, and then you have the earnings confirmation, which earnings this year are expected to be 38 cents and then 44 cents next year. And it's a $14 stock. So, growth is certainly slowing. And there was a lot of hype around Rolls-Royce's business in regards to, once again, as everything AI, because they have a power systems segment that includes engines, power systems, nuclear systems for civil power generation. So, you know, long term, I like that. But near term, I think you can find better options because of that trend in earnings. So I would definitely sell at least that third for tax loss harvesting and maybe balance it out with taking some gains so that you have net no gains on it. That's probably what I would do because I do like it long term, but near term, I just don't like the momentum. I think it's has a lot of room to fall. There's not really major support until about $10. So that's a pretty big loss if this momentum continues to the downside. So that was Rolls-Royce, R-Y-C-E. Now let's talk about housing. And we know that we have an affordability crisis, and those in power have a lot of ideas on how to fix it. You have people on the far left saying we should freeze rents. You have President Trump on the far right thinking that we need a 50-year mortgage, and others thinking we need to focus on rezoning and deregulation. And that's the abundance wing of the Democratic Party, the more it's called centrist wing. But the problem really isn't just about any of those things. It has more to do with the concentration of power of supply of new homes in the country. And it's mainly those publicly traded companies from D.R. Horton, Lennar, Toll Brothers, etc. And those institutions are the ones that really control new supply in today's market. And so this is where money from those go into free cash flow. They also do a lot of land banking where they buy up land, and that prevents other competitors from coming in, undercutting their prices, etc. And so, you know, it's really about finding local zoning laws, taxing land banking. I think those are things that can prevent the power of new supply to being held with these big home builders. So I know that's a political issue to solve, but if you look at the way that the housing new supply comes on, that is an industry that probably needs to be looked at. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, or anything money related, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button and schedule a call with myself or Luke. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, and head over to our YouTube channel. Check out our videos over there, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Quick reminder, our newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is set for December 9th, happening online, and it is free. But you do need to pre-register by heading over to investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.